to renew us and restore us, Lord, by your word and by your presence. Lord, we lift you up. Be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. With a heart of thanksgiving.
Generate
thank you that you hear our voice, God.
You answered prayers back then, and you will answer now.
Yes, you will.
You are the same God.
Because you are faithful, God.
You are the same God. You were providing then. You are providing now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You move in power and God move in power now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were a healer then. You are a healer now. You are the same God. You are the same God. You were Savior then, and you are Savior now. You are the same God. You are the same God.
Oh, thank you, Lord, that you know us by name. You know. Jesus, you are here. You are the same God, and you know us. We need you today, God. We're crying out. Oh God, my God.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you. Standing on your faithfulness.
On your faithfulness.
Say, oh God.
Oh God, my God, I need you. Oh God, my God, I need you now. How I need you now. Oh rock, oh rock of ages, I'm standing on your faithfulness, on your faithfulness.
Thank you, Father. I thank you, God, that however we find ourselves here today, however we are, doesn't need to be lined up and fixed before we lay things down at your feet, before we come and cry out to you. We can come just with our victories, with our failures, with our baggage, just like we are. Just like we are. And you are here. And we say, we need you, God. And I believe in my whole heart by your word that you say, I'm here. I'm here, my child. I've always been here. So today we lay it all down at your feet, God. Because you are greater than all of it. And we enter these gates with thanksgiving, and we enter your courts with praise about how wonderful you are, just to take us as we are, in your patience as we lean into the Lord. We lean in to your word and the example of Jesus, your son, that we would become more and more and more like him with every step. you for holding on. Thank you for holding on to us, God.
Come out of sadness from wherever you've been. Come brokenhearted, a rescue begin. Come find your mercy, a sinner come near. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can't heal. Earth has no sorrow, heaven can't heal.
Thank you, Father.
Lay down your
Father, that we can come as we are. That you love us and care about us. Father, we know that you're a personal God. And you're an individual God. But you're also a family God and a community God. And so we come together as individuals and as a community to experience you and your presence and your goodness. To worship you, to make you big in our lives, to give you space in our hearts. Thank you for this time of worship. And Father, we reflect on our week, and we reflect on the things that you helped us and carried us through this week. And we just want to take a moment during this time of worship to express and think about our gratitude towards you. You're a good God. Thank you for answering prayers. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for making things work. Thank you for the weather. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our friends. Thank you for our jobs and for our finances. We love you, God. Now, Father, as part of our worship, we want to give back to you in this time of offering and of giving of our finances, of our tithes, of our gifts, of our alms, Father. We want to make sure that money doesn't have such a grip on our hearts that we're not generous in giving, Father. So we give back to you what you've given and provided to us as an act of worship, a spiritual act of worship. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Why don't you say hello to someone as the ushers pass the offering bucket? You can take a seat. If you're a guest with us, we don't want you to feel any obligation or awkwardness around this idea of giving. As we pass the buckets, you're welcome to give and you're welcome to let it pass on by. But we're just glad that you're here. Thank you for joining us on this Sunday morning with the beautiful weather outside. We appreciate you taking the time to come and to kind of see what CF Paris is about. And for all you home folks, all you CF Paris members, welcome back. Glad that you're here. Love that you're here. God is good. Amen. If you are a guest with us, we do have a guest process we'd love you to be a part of, and that's a little guest card. We have a gift for you in the lobby. We do like to follow up on our guests, send you a note of thanks, and phone call you and find out if there's anything that you have questions about. But also, as a guest, your next step would kind of be, hey, I want to know more about the church. So we have a kind of an informal fireside type chat that we'll be having next week at 9:30, so come a little early. It's the Start Here class. It's the first meeting room on your left when you walk in, and so we'd love to have you come be a part of that. If you're curious, you've been coming for a while and you've never been to that, you're curious about what that's about, you're welcome to come too. There'll be coffee and donuts available. Maybe I'll get you in there with that. God is good. I do want to highlight one thing before we do the announcement video, and that's community groups. And so community groups are rolling right now for our spring semester. There's a lot of different groups that you can get involved on many different nights of the week, and some of them during the day. MOPS is a thing, BSF is a thing, Celebrate Recovery is a thing. We've got men's groups, women's groups, young adults groups. So you can go to our website and find all of those. There's a community group finder. I want to highlight one that we're starting on the second Monday of this month, so not tomorrow, but the next week, the 11th, called Practicing Together. And so if you're interested, I did some sermons about the practices, and so we're going to be practicing some of those practices together. That's on Monday nights here at the building, 6 to 8. Claudia will be out in the lobby if you're interested and want to know more information about that. Other than that, we've got some more announcements in the announcement video with Kimmy.
What's up, guys? I'm Broadway. This is my wife, Kimmy, and we're super excited that you've joined us today. We have just a few announcements for you.
All right, up first, this weekend, this Saturday, is our CF Students Camp fundraiser garage sale. That's a mouthful. So if you have items that you've been wanting to donate, please bring them to the church Friday so we can get everything set up and priced. It's going to be awesome. And then the actual garage sale is Saturday. So come and shop, help support our CF students. And also, if you signed up to have your own booth and sell your own stuff, you can also come Friday and get that set up so everything's ready to go.
Okay, next Sunday at 9:30, we're having our Start Here class. This is where if you have a few questions, whether you're new here or have been here for a while, This is where you get those answers answered. Pastor G, he'll meet you out in the lobby. He'll go in that first classroom, and that's where you'll meet it. So if you have any questions, meet us there.
All right. And lastly, March 24th is Palm Sunday. I can't believe we're already in the month of Easter already. So on Palm Sunday this year, we are having a worship and baptism service. So if you, your child, your best friend has been interested in getting baptized, please go online, fill out the form. It's also on our app so we know and we can get you guys baptized. We are so excited just to worship with you that day.
And that's it.
That's it.
Pastor Corey coming up.
Bye, y'all.
There's a lot going on. Hey guys. All right, so we've calendar dates. I've alluded to the possibility of who we have very affectionately call Honey Bun Will Walker. But whom y'all know is Pastor Will. He's not here this morning, but I've alluded to him possibly preaching on a Sunday morning here. We've been prodding him. So on St. Patrick's Day, April 17th, mark your calendars. I am excited to say we're going to have Will. What's that? March. What did I say? March 17th. Thanks, guys. How about that front row down there? I have it in my notes. I have April. I have April all the way through, but it's March. So if I say April again, just know that I'm talking about March. All right, so St. Patrick's Day, April 17th. May! Yay! March. Hold on. March. Wow. March. It's in March. March 17th, we are going to be having Will Walker preach, guys. And listen, he, as great as that is, what I'm super excited about, him and I have been talking about it, he's going to be bringing a message in relation to specifically him, but for us, why I worship. Why I worship. And then March 24th, Palm Sunday. Guys, we're going to celebrate. It's going to be just a Sunday full of worship. We're going to worship the whole Sunday. We're also going to be doing baptisms. Please sign up. We're excited to celebrate you announcing, broadcasting, telling the world, I once was lost, but now I'm found. It's a great opportunity. We want to be involved in that, want you to be able to share that with family. But then as well, we're also going to be taking communion. It's going to be a very full Sunday. We're going to be able to, as a corporate body, receive communion together. So it's going to be a great time of fellowship. The very next Sunday, March, March 31st, is Easter. March 31st, Easter, I want to go ahead and let you guys know we are going to have two services on that Easter. Y'all are all waiting with bated breath. What are the 2 hours that you can find out? I can't tell you how many people I've argued with over what hours these should be. So we chose hours that nobody picked and said, watch this. I'm kidding. Listen, we prayed hard about this. We're gonna meet at 8:30. And we're also going to have a service at 10:30. I want to encourage you. We have children's programs going on at both. If you're here and you don't have children, I would love for you to come to the first service. We know, typically in years past, the later service is the one that an abundance of people come. So even though we have the one that we would love to go to, I am asking some of you as faithful members here to choose to have to wake up earlier and come to the early service. That's good. Now listen, not all of you, just like half of you, okay? We got to work this out perfectly this year. Two services, 8:30 and 10:30 on Easter Sunday. I'm excited about what all God's going to do for us on that day. But today, Today, I want to jump into determine. I've got 2 weeks left this Sunday and next Sunday that I'm going to continue this series. I said it at the very beginning, and then I got the flu and missed, but I'm going to come back and say, listen, guys, I need you here the next 2 weeks. You want to be here the next 2 weeks. No, wait, you're already here. So all you got to do is come back next Sunday. Look, that's easy. These next two characteristics, these next two traits, these next two things I want to talk about truly do define year 2024. They have the potential to completely transform your life, the way you follow Christ. If it is about you and I becoming more like Christ. Look, I love the song, Come As You Are. And the beauty of the gospel is that every single one of us can do just that, come as you are. But the beauty of that is he doesn't leave you as you are. But that process involves us. It involves you and I. Right? God doesn't just take his magic done button and hit it, and all of a sudden we're perfectly righteous angels. I've prayed for it. It doesn't work that way. There's practices. There's intentionality within our everyday. Let's stand for the reading of God's word, if you will, with me this morning. I've got a simple verse, but there is so much here, and I'm excited to be able to share it with you. Reading from the prophet, and look, y'all are standing, and this seems very somber, but I'm going to mess up his name to somebody here, okay? I've heard it Habakkuk. I've heard Habakkuk. I've even heard somebody say Habakkuk, and I was like, that just, we're going to scratch that one. But I'm probably going to say both of them just because I get confused sometimes too. But he was a prophet of God, and I'm excited to read the word of God from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. It says this, look at the proud. They trust in themselves, and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Amen. Bow your heads with me real quick. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your truth. I thank you, Lord God, that you are the answer. And Father, right now, I pray that your spirit, that your word would stir within each and every one of us, Lord God, that would open up our hearts, open up our eyes, open up our ears, Lord Jesus, to be able to hear your truth. But Lord God, just as your word teaches, not just hear, Father, but to hear and obey. It's in the name of your son we pray. All God's people said, amen. 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 As you're taking your seat, turn to your neighbor and say, ooh, I'm really excited about this today. Oh, look, I just use you guys for self-affirmation. Thank y'all. I appreciate it. Oh, no, we've been talking about intentionality, practices that you and I need to put into our everyday. All believers should be developing intentionally practical steps if we are becoming like Christ. Because we know it, we've heard it. You and I are called to do what? As a church, our values, our mission, we inspire others to live and believe like the gospel changes everything. That's a powerful statement. I think what ends up happening is we start to hear a slogan and we like a slogan and it becomes a slogan and that's what it is. We never actually intentionally, practically apply it. Are you living your life in such a way that you're inspiring others to live and believe like the gospel changes everything? Because if we take that moniker, we take that slogan, and we tag it to a building, then nothing happens. Because that building can't inspire or do anything for anybody. It's you and I. It's the body of Christ. And these traits, these characteristics, like we've said, they don't happen accidentally. We don't stumble into righteousness. There's intentionality that you and I must put into work. Look, we're not saved by our work. We're not saved by our work. It's not a you're saved if you do works kind of message. That's not it. But we do know, Scripture tells us that you and I are saved for good work. There's intentionality. There's purpose for you. You were saved for good work. We know faith without good works is dead. So, today I'm going to talk about a quality that I think you're going to have to work for. Congratulations. This is one that, God's just been really putting on my heart. Most people, if you were to ask them to characterize what it is they want out of life, most of us, most people will come up with an answer. Well, you know, I want to be successful. I want to be able to inspire people. Some maybe even say, man, I just want to be happy, Corey. And look, all of those are good characteristics. I truly believe that God does make people successful. God makes people successful, and I pray you're successful in all you do. Influential. Influential's great. God called us to be salt and light. God called us to be ambassadors. You and I are to make a difference in the world. So yes, I pray you're successful. I pray that you inspire multitudes of people. Happy. Absolutely. I pray that you'll be blessed. I pray that you're fulfilled in life. But ultimately, when you and I get to heaven, none of us are going to hear God say, well done, my good and influential servant. Well done, my good and successful servant. Well done, my good and happy servant. I mean, none of them. That's not what we know we're hoping to hear. What we want to hear is, well done, my good and faithful. Faithful servant. You and I are going to have to determine to be faithful. And look, it's not going to happen accidentally. There's no way that day in, day out, that we walk consistently faithful in our lives. There has to be intentionality. We must determine to walk in Christ-like practices. Jesus was consistently faithful. Consistently faithful in his relationships and how he treated other people. He was consistently consistently faithful with the gift that God had given him. His resources. He was also very consistent in his obedience to God the Father. Time after time, story after story, as we read through the Gospels, the life of Jesus, we see someone who displayed consistent faithfulness. Knew when he needed to take a step away to be able to refresh, to be able to step back in, to pour out to then step away, to be refilled, to then step in, to pour out. Being faithful, especially faithful to God, doing what's right, it's rarely easy. And you and I, typically, we're bent toward what's easy or what's convenient. Being faithful is hard. Being faithful comes with a cost. But being faithful is always worth it. Our scripture, the prophet Habakkuk, he says, look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked. He's telling us they trust in their own wisdom. Look at the proud. They trust in their own knowledge. They trust in their own righteousness. They trust in their own goodness. We could easily take it even further and say they trust in their own bank account. They trust in their own abilities, their skills, the years of work that they've put in. Look at the proud. They trust in themselves and their lives are crooked. But the righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. The righteous will live by their faithfulness to God. Now, that raises a big question. All right, so what does it then mean to be faithful? How do we practically, every day, with intentionality, live that out? Now, immediately, when I say faithful, I think there's some ideas that pop up into our minds. Faithful. All right, Corey, well, if I'm going to be faithful, then that means I can't cheat on my spouse. Well, yeah, that's a good one. Well, if I'm going to be faithful, that probably means like don't cheat on my taxes. Ooh, that's a hard one, but no, still that's a good one. That's a good one. Yes, all of these are ideas of faithfulness. But Jesus, when he talked about faithfulness, as you look through scripture, as you read his word, what you'll find is that he typically talked about faithfulness in one of three categories. He would talk about faithfulness with how you treat the people you interact with. He would talk about faithfulness in how you handle, how you manage your resources, the gifts that God's given you. And then he'd also talk about faithfulness in how you respond to God. It was always about relationships with others. It was about taking care of what he's given you and about obeying. Ooh, that obeying one's hard. But don't worry, we got two steps before we even get to third, so you're good. You can relax for two more points. Look, if you and I are looking for intentionality practices to become more like Christ, we're going to have to determine that we must be faithful in the relationships that God puts in our path. We're going to have to determine that we're faithful with our resources. We're going to have to determine that what we've been given is the opportunity to use it for God, to obey. So then every person that we pass, I would suggest even scripturally, is an opportunity for you to bless. Every individual that you come across is an opportunity for you to add value to. So that means wherever you go, whatever it is you do, every person you meet, everyone you see is an opportunity for you. An opportunity for you to inspire them to live and believe like the gospel changes everything. It's an opportunity for you. I hope that, like, I've had that highlighted multiple times in my notes. I hope you catch the you part on this. And when I say you, I mean me too, but you. Guys, every opportunity that we come across somebody is an opportunity for you to bless, an opportunity for you to inspire, an opportunity for you to encourage, an opportunity for you to extend the grace that was extended to you to somebody else. Adding value. Adding value to others is faithfulness to God. Ephesians 4 says this, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Y'all are all going to hell. Oh, but the grace of God. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Amen. To be faithful to God, you're going to have to determine that you're going to add value to others. So what does that look like, Corey? Oh, that means when you walk into a room, the climate changes. Not in the way you're used to. Come on. The climate changes for the better. That means when you walk in, you bring warmth. That means when you walk in, you're bringing the light. You have the opportunity to inspire others to live and believe like the gospel changes everything. And the reason you know that is because you're living it. You speak the truth. This is important. Look, this is the big argument everybody says. Oh, Corey, it's all about love, and then you don't get to say the truth. Look, it's about love and truth. Yes, you speak the truth, but whenever you do so in love. Here's the problem with our thoughts on that. We define love by the action that we give. That's not love. Love is an action perceived. I can tell my wife all day long, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. But if she never feels, understands, interprets what I'm giving, then I'm not giving love. What I'm giving, hear this, because it's worse, what I'm giving is selfish. It's love for myself. Yes, you speak the truth, but you do so in love. People are going to be better. They're going to have more faith. They're more blessed simply because you were there. It's faithfulness to God. Think about how Jesus interacted with anybody. Like, I don't care if you've never been to church, if you've ever heard any story about Jesus, I can promise you what you've never heard is, well, the disciples were worried, and Jesus said, well, yeah, it's because the world's going to hell in a handbasket. wasn't there. Jesus didn't, well, you should be worried. Did you watch the news today? Have you seen the economy? Look, I'm going to clear the air in case maybe you've never heard any story about Jesus, but I can promise you none of that I just said is anywhere in Scripture. Amen. That's not what Jesus said. In fact, Jesus said, don't worry about what you're going to eat or drink. Don't worry about the clothes that you're going to have to wear because your heavenly Father cares about you so much. You know he cares about the birds, so how much more so does he care about you that he would send his only son for you, that he would sacrifice that life just so that you could have a relationship with him? Jesus said, today has enough to worry about. Seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first his righteousness, and then everything else, all the worries, all the concerns, they'll be taken care of. You'll be okay. Everything else will be added unto you. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Everything Jesus said was always about uplifting somebody else. The woman caught in adultery. Hands down, by the law, sinner. Yeah. Like, nobody's arguing. So call her out. Shame her. At least make her know that she's dirty. No. No, no, no. Jesus said first, let anyone who's never sinned throw the first stone. Every accuser walks away. Jesus looks at her and he asks, where are your accusers? She says, there are none. And then he looks her in the eye with love in his heart and says, neither do I accuse you. That's powerful. Neither do I condemn you. Go your way and sin no more. Go and be righteous. Go and be free. Think about Peter. Peter, Jesus' best friend. And so if you ever needed a best friend, how about the time when you're getting captured? Man, Jesus' best friend, in eyeshot of Jesus being tortured, being whipped, being crucified, and when you'd need a friend the most, Peter denies knowing him three times. Three times. Never met the man. Don't know who that is. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't hang around with that. Talk about betrayal. And Jesus, what did Jesus do? Canceled them. Sent him straight to hell. Condemned him. No. No. Jesus looks him in the eye and says, Peter, do you still love me? Then go and tell others. Go do my will. Go show my love. Go inspire others. Jesus forgave. Again, more words from Jesus. I came to show the love of my Father. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. You can. He came and he told us with uplifting as he's getting ready to leave his disciples who once again, like mark this real quick. So you have Easter, right? Jesus is resurrected. The disciples went from complete celebratory to all of a sudden complete loss. 3 years of their life following Jesus. And it looked like it was all for naught, nothing. And then elation, what? Jesus shows up. Like comes back from the dead. How exciting they must be. All right, Jesus, we're ready to follow you. Let's go do it. And he says, yeah, I'm leaving again. But listen, be encouraged, be uplifted. I'm here to edify, to build up, and I'm going to tell you this. I'm sending the Holy Spirit. I'm sending the one who will be the encourager, the uplifter, your voice to God. Every interaction, you show the love of God. Build up. Every interaction. Jesus also consistently talked about being faithful to God, by utilizing the gifts, the resources that he's given us as an opportunity to multiply. An opportunity to multiply. Matthew 25, we've heard the parable. There was, Jesus told a parable. He said there was a man that was going on a journey. This wealthy man gave his servants all of his wealth to hold on to while he was gone. To one, he gave 5 bags of gold. To one, he gave 2 bags of gold. And then to one, he gave 1 bag of gold. He goes on a journey, leaves, and comes back. The first two, the one with 5 and the one with 2, they both went out and they put the gold to work. They risked it. They invested it. And they both doubled what they had. And in Matthew 25, verse 21, the master replies, he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things, and I'll put you in charge of many. You were faithful with what I gave you. You multiplied what I gave you. That is faithfulness to God." One of the ways that you and I can be faithful is simply by caring for what he's given you. By stewarding the resources he's given you, the gifts he's given you, and multiplying them. Look, there's people in here who are good at business. I truly believe that being good in business is truly God-honoring. Business owners who can take what they've been given, risk it, to multiply it, to create more jobs, while remaining a person of integrity, while treating others well. You're creating something that adds value, that blesses others. It's faithfulness to God when you multiply what it is that he's given you. Taking this further, if it's faithfulness to God when you multiply what he's given you, there was the third servant. To that one, he didn't multiply what was given. He didn't put to work any of what he had. In fact, he took it, he held on to it, and he said, "I'm going to protect it. I'm going to hold on to it as though it were mine." When the master comes back, he gives it to him. Here's what was told to him. Jesus responds in the parable saying that this was a wicked, lazy servant. To the ones who multiplied what was given, the master says, "You're faithful." To the one who buried it, who wasn't just lazy, Scripture says he was wicked. To not multiply what is given you is sinful. To not take the gifts, the resources, the blessings that God's given you, to then not turn around and use those gifts, trusting him to multiply, is not just lazy. Scripture says it's sinful. Welcome to church, where you're being encouraged. Every interaction an opportunity to add value to others, and every resource, every gift you're given an opportunity to multiply. And then all of it above and beyond. Your opportunity, every prompting, every time you think you hear from God, it's an opportunity to obey. An opportunity to obey. Acts chapter 20 and verse 22, Paul loved not just the place, but the people, everything about where he was at. And yet he knew that he had to leave. And so there's this really big farewell that the people within that city are giving him. And they're all, you know, sad and crying, yes, but they understand, because Paul says this. In verse 22, Paul He says, compelled by the Spirit. And that word compelled in the Greek, it literally means to be wrapped up, almost like bound with string, with tied up with rope. Compelled by the Spirit. So Paul's saying that I'm not just drawn to this. I'm telling you that the Spirit is tying God's will with my desire. The Spirit is tying God's will to my desire. And so I go. I can't explain it. I don't understand it. I don't know even the details, Paul says. I just know that I'm compelled. When you follow Jesus, there's going to be moments in your everyday where he's going to prompt you. If you're in a relationship and both parties want to encourage that relationship, they talk to each other. God is saying something to you every day. Small, still voice, a feeling, a tingle. Can you obey? Can you faithfully choose every day with intentionality to obey? Because you have no idea what God can do when you obey, when you follow his prompting. I've had the privilege of just being in situations, traveling with different evangelist preachers, going to different conferences and things with, and kind of have like a little bit of an inside scoop where I got to meet them and talk to them and stuff. But I've also had the opportunity through all of these to be able to pray for people. I was praying one time for this elderly grandma. She had been wheelchair bound for I don't even remember how long. It had been a while. And the family was all there, and they brought her up, and they asked me to pray for her. I mean, you know. I'll be honest. My first thought was, "What do I say?" And immediately, like I heard the voice of God saying, "You're going to tell her to stand up." And I said, "But I'm not going to do it." And I started praying. Peace, protection. You're going to tell her to stand up. You're going to pray for it. Crap. Oh, God. This is not what I want to do. Finally, I wasn't like super holy, like super excited, ready to just, you know, command the voice of God down and everything happened. So I'm sitting there and I'm like, I've got to be hearing from God. Like the whole time I'm like, Satan, shut up, Satan, shut up, Satan, shut up. You know, and the whole time I just kept hearing. I'm like, all right, I'm praying. And I did. I prayed. I said, I believe that God wants you to stand. I reached down to give her a hug. I held her. She reached her arms up around me and together we stood. You can say, you picked her up. Man, I saw a miracle that day. I saw her family break down in ways that I can't even begin to describe. I've seen things that I don't want to talk to you about because it would just freak you out. Like, I've seen the power of God. When the voice of God is telling you to do something, can you just simply do it? I mean, it was a beautiful moment. All of a sudden, this lady stands up, and I promise you, we both took a step back. her family was in tears. Let me tell you another story. There was a family here recently. I was talking with a friend. We were at a restaurant, and there was this family that walked in. And man, again, I heard the voice of God. You need to talk to them. I'm in the middle of something, God. Like, this is important. They got in line, they were ordering, and I heard it again. God's like, you need to say something to them. This time, more specifically, what looked like the son. I mean, look, they're ordering, God, and I'm still in this conversation. They sat down, they ate, I still heard it. They were walking out the door, and I heard it again. But this time, I'm now engaged in another conversation with somebody. And I heard it. Get them before they go. Excuse me. You don't know me. And right there in that restaurant, I prayed for them. They received Jesus, and their lives were changed. Hold on, stop, wait. I'm not, that would be great. It would be. That didn't happen. What was the miracle? I don't know. Well, yeah, I mean, were you embarrassed? Yeah. Look, I told this to somebody last week. I'm an introvert. All of this, woohoo. I do this because I'm nervous. I've managed it well. Oh, I'm an introvert. I don't like to engage people. It's terrible for a pastor to say. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, it's hard. It's obedience. It's faithfulness. Being honest, I didn't even get a name. I got nothing. But obedience is my responsibility. The outcome, that's up to God. Amen. Corey, they're going to think you're weird if you do that. Everybody knows you already are. Right? Like, it's you're going to keep it from a stranger? Let them know. Sometimes you'll see the reason. Other times you won't. But you and I put intentionality into our everyday. We recognize that it's up to you and I to inspire others to live and believe like the gospel changes everything. And that happens when they see the work that God is doing in our lives. Amen. Faithful. Regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the situation, faithful. It's obedience. I've made it my prayer this week that God would put someone or something in each and every one of your hearts this week. You might not know why. You may feel weird. But I pray that you step out in faith. You don't have to make it weird. Just step out in faith. I will be faithful to you, God, simply because you've been faithful to me. I heard a pastor say this once, and it stuck with me. He said, you will overestimate what you can do in the short term. He says, but you'll greatly underestimate what God can do through a lifetime of faithfulness. You're going to overestimate what it is that you can get done in this season. You're going to overestimate what you can do in your marriage in this season. You might overestimate how you can even have an impact in this season. You can overestimate how you're going to do financially in this season. You'll overestimate what you can do in the short. But you will greatly, greatly underestimate what God can do through a lifetime of faithfulness. The power of the truth, standing upon the rock that doesn't move. When you're faithful in the small, God trusts you with more. When you're faithful with more, God trusts you with more. Faithful with the relationships around you. Every interaction, an opportunity to add value to somebody else's life. Faithful with your resources, with what God's given you, with the gifts He's given you, not sitting there and saying, well, mine don't mean that much. Or I don't have one. But rather, God, reveal to me what it is you'd have me do. Faithful to make a difference in this world. It's in that you and I are blessed. It's obeying, obedience. That's our responsibility. Obedience. Faithfulness. If you'll stand with me, I want to close us in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Every head bow, every eye closed, please. Lord God, we give you this moment. We surrender all to you. The circumstances, the situations, Lord God, all of it. We thank you for who you are, for what you're doing in our lives today. We thank you for your Son, Lord God, for the gift of life that you extended to each and every one of us, the gift of abundance, Lord God, even here and now. And Father, I pray that each and every one of us would reach out for that abundance. Lord God, that we would reach out for that abundance through the simple practice of being faithful, obedient to your word, obedient to listen to how we interact with the people around us, Lord God. Every individual, every time we cross, an opportunity to bless, to encourage, to lift up, Lord Jesus, to use the gifts that you've given us to multiply and add value, Lord Jesus, to those around us. Father, I pray that we would be a church, we would be a people that would obey. As I keep praying real quickly, I want to take a moment. If you're here and you've never experienced a relationship with Christ, me talking about being faithful may be completely foreign to you, but listen, Scripture tells us that He is faithful and just to forgive all of our sins. What does that mean, Corey? I don't know what sin is. Sin is simply everything that keeps us from the purity and the righteousness of God. God wants to restore a relationship with you so much that He sent His Son to cover that sin, to draw you back in. He wants you and I to live in relationship. If you're here this morning and you feel like you need forgiveness, you need His grace, I want to pray for you specifically this morning. Every head bowed, every eye closed, please, real quick. If you're here and you don't know what a faithful relationship is like, man, just real quickly, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. I'm not going to embarrass you, call you out, but I'm going to invite you into an opportunity to celebrate. Awesome. Across the room, would y'all lift your hands with me? Father, we lift our hands as a simple act of surrender. God, an opportunity to say, we recognize our smallness in light of your greatness. But as well, Father, even in that recognition, we recognize that you've extended your greatness inside our smallness. And that we have the opportunity to live life big, simply through the salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that lives here today would be transformed. The lives would be shaped, Lord God, because of a simple decision to daily walk in faithfulness. We step away from sin, Lord God. We step away from the things that hinder, Lord Jesus. We turn to a relationship with you. Father, I thank you that across this room, you, Father, are inspiring a people to live and believe like the gospel changes everything. I pray that we would see it, Lord God, and then from there that we would faithfully go, and as well, each and every individual in this room, that we would inspire others. Every interaction, every opportunity, Lord God, that we would inspire others to live and believe like the gospel changes everything. The good news. God, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for this season of reflection. A moment to come in, Lord Jesus, and to think about the enormity of somebody who gave his life for us. He's faithful to the end, even when it hurt, even when it cost him. God, we thank you. We pray, Lord Jesus, that that would be the fire that would ignite us, Lord God, that your Spirit now dwelling inside would lead us daily, Father, into your righteousness. We thank you so much. It's in the name of your Son that we pray. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you guys. I look forward to seeing you next week.